Trading in futures products entails significant risk of loss, which must be understood prior to trading and may not be appropriate for all investors.
Good morning, everybody. It's Monday, March 25th, 5:27 a.m. Central Time. Grain markets are mixed this morning. May corn futures down one at 438 and a quarter. May soybeans up a half cent at 1193. May Chicago wheat up four and a half at 559 and a quarter. May Kansas City wheat down a quarter at 590 and a quarter. May spring wheat down a half at 660 and a half. Couple of housekeeping notes before we start this morning. The markets are closed on Friday in observance of the Good Friday holiday, so there will be no trade on Friday. Thursday, we've got the big prospective plantings and quarterly grain stocks report. We're not going to talk about it today. We'll get into some preview stuff tomorrow, but just a heads up there. Let's get into some weekend weather.
Rain and snow fell across some portions of the Corn Belt this past weekend. Some parts of Iowa saw 4 to 6 inches of snow on Friday. The radar was active for much of the weekend and into this morning. Many areas of the Corn Belt west of the Mississippi River have been plagued by drought as of late. Iowa and Minnesota are the most heavily impacted. Additional rainfall is expected during the next 5 days.
So this first map, this would be like your rain equivalent, although a lot of this was snow. I think there were a couple areas that caught eight or nine inches of snow in the course of like just one day or less than 24 hours. It's pretty substantial. When you look at the drought map versus the rains that actually fell, this is very helpful for a lot of areas of Iowa and southern Minnesota, parts of Wisconsin, parts of Nebraska in particular. You look at that big bright spot in northeast Iowa, and some of that was hit, and you've got some more going on this morning. This is the next 5 days, what's expected. So that eastern part of Iowa going to still be kind of on the drier side. The majority of the rain you're going to see here the next 5 days will be more the western half of Iowa, but also southern Minnesota. Wisconsin's been very dry. They're supposed to catch some rain or snow here the next 5 days. Parts of Illinois, parts of Missouri have been very dry as well. So this is a net positive, I think, when it comes to crop production and the drought and all of that. Does it have any impact on the market right here and now? I don't really think so. I think it's too early. I don't think we're going to start trading weather here for a while. But I'd say if you caught this stuff and you were dry, I'd say it's a net positive. Is the timing ideal? No. I mean, you would have rather had this a month ago, I guess. But I think most of you guys will take it.
Fund traders have reduced their net short position in the corn market. CFTC released weekly commitment of traders data on Friday. During the week ending March 19th, the funds were net buyers of 8,000 contracts of corn. The net short of 244,000 contracts remains historically large. Funds were net buyers of 8,000 contracts of soybeans. With the exception of the past few weeks, the net short of 139,000 contracts is the largest since mid-2019, and the funds were net sellers of 3,000 contracts of SRW wheat on the week.
We've seen a minimal short covering event. These are still some very large net short positions in the row crop markets in particular. Also in SRW wheat, 464,000 contracts in net of net short positions across corn, soybeans, and SRW wheat. I am actually pleasantly surprised by how the markets have acted given the minimal amount of short covering. So corn's 30 cents off the lows. And some of that's because of short covering. I think the low that we put in late February had a lot to do with that basis contract situation that we discussed at length in the past. But you know what? Corn's 30 cents off the lows, and the funds have only covered, what, 70,000 contracts worth of shorts. There were people who thought, and I had floated this idea that, you know, you may see the funds cover all their shorts and you might only get 50 cents out of it. So I think I'm pleasantly surprised by how well the markets acted, given the fact that funds are still holding this massive net short position across the market. So yeah, you've seen some short covering, but pretty minimal. These are the attitudes when it comes to grains are still very much negative in the eyes of large money managers.
So if you guys have not checked out our premium content, you need to do so. Joe, can you tell me about some of our recent videos?
All sorts of great stuff last week. Mitchell Hoare was on Monday. We spent 47 minutes answering questions that came in from our premium subscribers about carbon scoring on the farm. If you guys are interested in this, I think this is must watch stuff. This was a very, very popular video, and it was questions that farmers wanted to answer. These were questions that came in direct from our subscriber base. Pete Meyer, who is our newest contributor, Pete's fantastic. He was on Tuesday. We talked some more about carbon. We talked about 45Z and the tax implications and these potential rulings or guidance that's coming out. We talked about the acreage report a lot more with Pete. This was kind of a mailbag type deal. You were on with Matt on Wednesday.
Sure did. And then we talked about this rainfall event that we're currently experiencing and the USDA report that's going to come out this week. And then the next video,
Paul was on, I don't think either of us were on that. Paul was on and talked about Social Security. I watched this, and I think even if you're not of like retirement age, this is interesting stuff. There's a lot of concepts in here regarding like when should you start your Social Security that are interesting. I know there's a lot of people with a lot of opinions about Social Security and what it is exactly. This is probably good stuff for you guys to watch. And then you had Chris on Friday.
Yep, we had Chris on Friday. Basically just talked about the cost of production, how it has stayed high just like it was last year. Mm-hmm. Broke down some of the categories that increased year over year and basically how producers need to, what they need to do to stay in the positive.
And there was a free tool available, guys. Yes. If you're a premium sub, that there was a download link in this morning's email, so check that out. If you guys are not a premium subscriber, I would strongly suggest that you check it out. Go to standardgrain.com. You can sign up this morning. I will forward you a copy of this morning's email, which includes all of those videos from last week, plus I think another couple of videos. This is a $50 per month subscription. You can cancel at any time. No other fee, no other obligation. Nobody will try to sell you anything else. This is just a ton of info direct from us every single business day. We don't have any sponsors. We don't have any corporate backing. So the premium subs are what allow us to do the podcast and YouTube every day. If you're a premium sub, we love you to death. If you're not, you should check it out. Give that deal a shot this morning.
Russia attacked Ukrainian infrastructure over the weekend. On Friday, Russia unleashed an aerial assault on the country's power sector, resulting in widespread power outages. Some are calling this one of Russia's most devastating attacks on Ukraine as of late. Russia says that the attacks were retaliation for recent strikes inside Russia. Russia fired more than 60 exploding drones and 90 missiles. Kharkiv, Ukraine's second largest city, sustained the most damage. The IMF approved an $880 million funding package for Ukraine over the weekend, while aid from the U.S. has stalled.
$880 million is just chump change these days. So I don't know. Maybe wheat was up overnight on this. Maybe it wasn't, but it was up. Was it because of this? I don't know. Every single rally attempt that's been on the heels of a Black Sea event has failed in recent weeks or months. And this one, for the moment, appears to be no different. I will say I had our daily charts, our wheat charts in the email this morning, and we kind of got up to some key resistance areas in the HRW futures and also in the spring wheat futures. Love to see a higher close today in wheat. It would look a lot better.
USDA's Brazil attaché office reduced its estimate of the country's soybean crop, citing a lower yield outlook. The office pegged this year's crop at 152.6 million metric tons compared to USDA's official estimate of 155 million metric tons. CONAB, Brazil's government agency, most recently pegged the crop at 146.9 million metric tons.
So they're citing poor weather conditions, and I think they talked about yields a little bit. They also had an estimate out for next year, which I'm not overly interested in right now. So there's been a big debate, of course, USDA versus CONAB. Who is right? I don't know. The real number is probably somewhere in the middle. Just because the attaché office reduced their estimate, that does not mean that USDA official is going to reduce its estimate. But this estimate, this 152.6, is a little bit closer to CONAB, who is at, 146.9. So maybe they're in the process of coming together. I don't know. The take home for me, what I'm aware of right now, is that Brazilian soybeans are still cheaper than what we can offer on the export market. And that's probably the more important item.
Biofuel and farm organizations have called on the Biden administration to ramp up the production of sustainable aviation fuel. Last week, 26 organizations across 13 states signed a letter urging the adoption of the GREET model for the calculation of SAF tax credits. The administration originally said that by March 1st, an updated GREET model would be available. However, questions about agricultural land use and climate smart agriculture have caused a delay in the decision. The groups advised against altering the model in a way that would penalize agricultural feedstocks. Such changes would negatively impact the ethanol industry.
So this is the lobby, whether it's the biofuel lobby or the corn growers lobby. Every single organization you can imagine signed this letter. National Corn Growers, NOPA, Renewable Fuels Association, Iowa Corn Growers, Illinois Corn Growers, Minnesota Corn Growers. You get the idea. Here's a quote from this letter. "We appreciate the administration's commitment to enlisting America's farmers and biorefiners in the effort to ramp up SAF production. If done right, the program could unleash a new wave of innovation and prosperity across America's heartland." So they're just pushing on this thing. We could see new stuff regarding the GREET model any day. Me and Pete talked about that a little bit last week. So it's just the industry leaning on the government. The government, of course, is slow to come to the table with some new information for us.
USDA reported a flash sale of corn on Friday. U.S. exporters sold 263,000 metric tons of corn to Mexico. Of the total, 173,000 metric tons is for delivery during the current marketing year, and the remaining 90,000 metric tons is for delivery during the 24-25 marketing year.
So you're starting to see some new crop business emerge in both corn and soybeans, which is pretty normal this time of year. You'll see more of it into April, May. So thank God for Mexico. I mean, they've been far and away the largest buyer of U.S. corn this year, and that's been very, very helpful because without them, we would have a major, major problem.
We had a cattle on feed report on Friday. Cattle on feed as of March 1st were reported at 101% of year-ago levels, which was in line with expectations. Placements were reported at 110% of year-ago levels, higher than pre-report average estimates. The pre-report average estimate of 106.4%, and marketings last month were 103% of year-ago levels, which was in line with pre-report estimates. The report overall is considered bearish, considering that placements came in significantly higher than expected.
They always miss the placements by a few percentage points. That's not overly shocking to me. Do you personally think, like, big picture, this is a bearish report, or does this still support the case that you've got light numbers and all that?
Correct. Big picture, I think this shouldn't do anything to the markets, but I truly believe that I think we could see it open lower today. They overreact to these cattle on feed reports in my opinion, I guess I could say.
The cattle market is fickle, and it will react to reports like this, and it might be for 5 minutes for all I know.
Right, we'll see exactly. What
outside markets on Monday, guys, U.S. dollars off a little bit, stocks a little bit lower, bonds about flat, crude oil's up 53 cents at 81.16 in the May WTI. Have a great day today. We'll talk to you on Tuesday.